with the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man.
Welcome to the Legion of Podcast on NBC Sports. I'm Paulie Papps. He's Andrew Perloff. We're your Masters of Ceremony on NBC Sports. Perloff, I got a few football things for you. I got a football question for you. Now, we don't script this show in any way.
Wait, you're kidding me.
We plan it even less. Our total prep time for the show is usually 45 seconds a week, wouldn't you say?
Well, no. That's absolutely not true.
Oh,
because we are... We are mulling over and mullinating, the new word, all week long. We're taking in information,
right.
We're synthesizing it. So we actually prep for six full days.
Individually, but you and I don't say like, hey, here's a topic, let's script out our hot takes. And
No, we'll keep it fresh.
Keep it fresh. Question for you. There's been a lot of talk about Joe Burrow of LSU and him being non-committal to the Bengals.
Sure.
I have kind of like a multi-layered question. Here's my things. How real is it that he doesn't want to go to the Bengals based off what you've seen?
I'm not going to give you behind the scenes information.
Because we don't have any of that. How real is it? How much do you think he and his people are just liking the illusion of this being out there to keep him in the press?
Because it keeps
him in the press. He's represented by CAA. That's a major agency. That's a brand that is for celebrities, not average quarterbacks in the NFL.
No, and they have a history of having top picks.
Right. So do you think this Joe Burrow story is real, that he and his people are don't want to necessarily go to the Browns? Or do you think it's more Or do you think it's more of a little more faux on their part, and they just love the attention of it for the sake of the attention?
No, I think it's real.
Real.
I don't know why he would want that attention, because it's somewhat negative.
Negative on him, because he's not the one saying it, so he's not getting blasted.
Well, he said the couple of comments, including on the Dan Patrick show, that were non-committal, which then turned into a negative.
Right, and then he's
and he knows he knew exactly what was going to happen. He's a really smart dude.
Right.
So I think it's that he doesn't want to go to Cincinnati for very good reasons.
So,
and one more thing I want to add. He's so confident that he's not worried about being the number one overall pick. Some guys would be desperate to be number one, but remember, when we saw him, didn't he strike you as one of the most confident quarterbacks you've ever been around?
By far.
Yeah.
He was the most confident, and I liked it. It was borderline cocky, but he's going to be the number one pick either way. He's either going to be number one pick and traded, or the number one pick and kept, so he gets that salary either way. If Miami trades up for him or trades for him, he's still the number one pick by the Bengals. Right? You mean like he still gets that slot?
Right. But even if he fell to three, he doesn't care, because he's like, I'm the man. I hear you. That would solve everything, but I don't think that's an issue. But let me ask you a question. I'm close to the Bengals.
I know.
Do you think it's a bad situation?
I think historically the Bengals appear to be like the Clippers, a bumbling franchise, even though they've had a lot of playoff appearances in the past 30 years. Not a lot, but a decent run of playoff appearances.
Maybe 15 years. Unfortunately, Carson Palmer got hurt, and then they were about to be a really good playoff team. Then Andy Dalton, everyone got injured all the time. You're right. They were good, but they've never been Super Bowl contenders.
Without looking this up, because we don't prep, I'll bet you in the last 20 years, let's say since 2000, they're not in the bottom five in the league in playoff appearances. I'll bet they're not.
No.
They're probably in the bottom half, but not the bottom five. Bottom five is really like, if you're in the bottom five of playoff appearances over the past two decades, that means you're a struggling franchise, period.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you off the top of my head, I know Carson Palmer I think he only went once in the game. He broke his leg, and then Andy went four times.
Okay, so
that's five. That's got to be
six of playoff appearances in 20 years.
Yeah, five. I think it's five, but yeah, so it's got
to
be.
That's pretty close to the Cowboys.
Like, yeah, I don't think the Bucs have had that many.
Browns?
Browns definitely haven't had. They've had one.
Yeah, the Bengals seem to be almost lumped in with the Browns as inept franchises.
Right. No, absolutely. But there's a couple of reasons, because they don't spend. Everyone knows that.
Right.
But the other thing too is like they were 2-14 last year, so there's some recency bias, and they were really bad. Honestly, here's why I think it's a bad spot for Joe Burrow. There really is like the things around him are bad. The defense is awful.
Awful.
You need a good defense.
Worst run defense in the league, probably, right?
Yeah. When you're a young quarterback, you need that stuff to be solid. And I think like he's like, I'm going to look bad here.
Yeah, I think the spending money thing to me is the biggest red flag, because they're a mom and pop franchise.
Yeah.
And it's unlike the Packers, which has the appearance of a mom and pop franchise, but they do spend a little money. Not a ton of money, but they have in the past. And the Bengals feel like a guy who owns a franchise and wants to do it the same way as he did it in 1971.
Right. I mean, you're right. All these other teams are gigantic corporations now with billionaire owners.
Networks.
Yeah, and Mike Brown is just not that. He's like somebody out of like the 1970s ABA. He's that one guy where it feels like when he spends money, it's coming out of his pocket. It feels like
yes.
that. Whereas the other owners, like David Tepper, he does not feel... $100 million he can spend in his sleep. That's a Carolina owner.
David Tepper can't, of the Carolina Panthers, he can't buy a Super Bowl title, you know, literally, but he can kind of spend enough to get in the mix.
Right, right, right.
And he would rather have, if you said it's going to cost you, you're going to be the most spending team in the league, but in the next 5 years, you're going to get a title. He'd be like, sign me up.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of owners are probably like that, but they can't because of the salary cap. So they have everything. It's like colleges. They spend it on like the locker room and stuff because they would spend more if they could, would they? Don't you think?
Well, yeah, because they don't really have that luxury tax like they do in basketball and baseball. You know, if you look at Steve Ballmer taking over the Clippers, he paid a high price for that team. That was the biggest price of all time. And he's spending. He's got stars. Yeah. He got people to go there. It feels bigger and better. It feels like a real franchise now just because of him.
Right.
Now, and they haven't won anything yet.
Well, he paid, what, $2
billion? Right.
He has $20 billion. He's worth $20 billion, so that's nothing.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's probably worth $4 billion. Since he bought it, franchises have jumped like crazy. David Tepper bought Carolina for $2.1 billion, I believe. That's in Charlotte. That's one of the smallest markets in the NFL. And they turned down, they turned down much bigger offers.
Yes.
So these franchises are worth crazy amounts. $2 billion is nothing.
Tepper, if you know his background, he had a piece of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that gave him some credibility. I think anything the Steelers touched, he got credibility with. And they did. They took a lesser offer to have an owner that they felt better about.
Yeah. I remember, I don't know if you were at this dinner with me. Somebody was telling
like Super Bowl dinner? How did I miss that?
I think, I don't know if it was Super Bowl there, but that David Tepper was better than everybody at the hedge fund game. He had all sorts of tricks. I think it was hedge fund or investment. I know.
Tricks, legal tricks.
Legal tricks like that. He just did everything better. Like I think this was one of my Brooklyn finance buddies saying that David Tepper was like known as like his everything they did was top flight. Like they had competitive advantages in the money game.
All right, let's go on record now with this because we don't have any real information on this yet. And I don't want to wait till we do. If you had to bet whether Joe Burrow is drafted and signs with the Bengals or drafted and traded from the Bengals to another team, if you had to bet today, what do you think he'd bet on? So that means he's drafted by the Bengals and kept. He's their quarterback next year.
So I read a report that the Bengals are taking him, and they are not a team that trades picks like that.
Right.
They don't do that.
So their own stubbornness could actually hurt them.
Because I think it's the right call. I think they should
Football-wise,
and they should just tell him, sorry, Joe, suck it up. You're coming. Because if they're not going to commit to Dalton, Joe Burrow is pretty darn good.
But you're a franchise that doesn't like to spend a lot of money, wouldn't you take the number one pick, which costs a lot of money, even though it's, you know, they're slotted, and drop down a little bit and get more second round picks?
You could, but this comes back to our conversation. You invest in the quarterback. You can't. It doesn't matter. None of those picks matter if you don't have a good quarterback. So you gotta jump on that Joe Burrow thing while you can. It's back to the same philosophy: quarterback, quarterback, quarterback.
Don't you want to see the Bengals take Burrow, keep Burrow, finish and get the number one pick next year, and they can't take Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be the best. All right, next question is about All-Star Weekend, which we both agree, and I think almost everyone universally agrees that it was one of the best in the recent history, wire to wire. Zion Williamson, you know, they were a little careful with him the first few weeks. I think did he miss 40 games or 30 games this year?
Something like that. Yeah, I don't have it in front of me.
I think it's 30. And then he came back, and it felt like he was really hitting his stride. There was a game right before the All-Star break where he had 31 points, his career high.
Yeah, then he beat it with 32 the next game.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be as managed with minutes. He's still not getting that 40-minute game yet. I don't think he's going to.
No, I think, is it 32 is his high? Something like that?
Which is still managed. That means he's being managed.
Yeah, absolutely.
They need him. But I turned on not the rookie game. It was like
a futures game.
It was like the American-born players versus foreign-born players. And they're going through the lineups, and all of a sudden I see Zion on the court. I was like, oh, I thought he would just sit out for health reasons the entire All-Star weekend. And my question for you is, I defer to you as a basketball guy. Why could Zion participate in the rookie game or the futures game, but not participate in the slam dunk contest where he only needs to do 4 dunks total? Maybe 6 total.
Right.
But 4 is what he's expected to do. He ran around a lot more in that futures game than he would have in the slam dunk contest. Is that a health move or is that a marketing move? What was that?
I think it's a marketing move. You know how LeBron never did the dunk contest?
Keep him waiting?
Keep him. I don't know why, because you can't help. Zion doesn't need that.
But then, why play in the game on Friday night? And he played quite a few minutes.
Then he did try and win a dunk contest dunk at the end.
Basically.
Yeah. Tried to go between his legs. I think he's like, he's so marketable right now that he doesn't need the dunk contest. He doesn't need it. There's nothing to add. Anything to make him look worse.
I don't think I could think of a player in history where people expected him to be and win the dunk contest in his rookie year more than him. LeBron was not just known as a dunker. Kobe wasn't, Garnett.
Yeah.
Whatever player you want to throw in there. Harold Miner was a dunking machine, and he was expected to and participate in the dunk contest.
I don't remember if Vince Carter won as a rookie, but he probably would have been
okay.
one.
Look, yeah. Imagine if I would have to check back, but I'm assuming Vince Carter participated in his rookie year slam dunk contest. I'm assuming, but I got to check that.
I think he won in 2000, and he was a rookie in, I think, 98. I happen to be a huge Vince Carter. I could be wrong.
If I'm wrong about this.
I don't know, but the dunk contest has gone through many iterations. Sometimes it's no good. Remember there was a period where it was all like backup players, like Derrick Jones Jr. type?
Oh, yeah.
So maybe Vince is a high draft pick, didn't do it. I don't know. Also, Zion, when they set the dunk field, maybe Zion was still hurt.
And he couldn't get in. They couldn't bump.
You can't bump a guy once you've...
If I'm the commissioner, I bump.
There were only... How many guys were in it?
Four dudes.
So, and Dwight Howard committed weeks ago. I think the timing was off. But also, okay. I don't think he does it. Nothing to gain in that. Dude, that guy's doing those dunks in the game. Why does he need to do it?
So you think he'll not participate in his career?
Yes.
LeBron has not.
I think he pulls a LeBron.
Because you can't lose it if you don't participate.
Right.
Wow. Never thought about that
before. Why hasn't LeBron done it? We were shocked. Remember we were watching this morning, Kobe was in there. And you said, I didn't know Kobe was in there. And
Kobe,
I'm like,
I think it was his second or third year in the league, probably third.
Did he win?
He won. He beat a kid named Chris Carr, who went to Southern Illinois University.
Oh, that was, classic showdown.
Oh, Chris
but
Carr
I'm
versus
like,
Kobe.
I was thinking, what is Kobe needed for? Maybe he's a rookie, because he wasn't great as a rookie.
He had some nice dunks. I watched it. He had some springs.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah. that's a high-end basketball evaluation right there.
But they were creative, too. Like, he had a couple through his legs. And
Can I tell one thing? Sorry. Isaiah Ryder won. Remember that?
One of my all-time favorites.
Show average. He'd throw the ball off the backboard and do a two-handed dunk.
Oh, I love the power and authority
the
of Jay Ryder.
But the dunk contest this year, like Derrick Jones Jr. was doing things that they didn't even dream of 20 years ago. Eric Gordon's jumping over tall buildings.
Right. I was watching the J.R. Ryder slam dunk contest. If you remember him, he was at UNLV. He went by Isaiah Ryder or J.R. Ryder. Yeah. I prefer J.R. And he was doing some great dunks in the dunk contest.
They were okay.
I liked it a lot. He did this one from the baseline where he went through his legs and hook dunked it over his head. And I was watching the coverage, and Barkley is on the coverage, on the call. And he had to go way deep on the baseline right by where the bench is. And there's a bunch of guys like Mutombo's there and Scottie Pippen and all these players are there. And he's asking these guys to move back because he needed more room on the baseline. And Scottie Pippen's sitting right where he wants to back up to. And Pippen's just staring at him like what? Because he wasn't moving. And Barkley goes, Scottie Pippen's got 6 rings. He don't move for nobody. And it was like the line of the night. I was like, because that's exactly what I was thinking. And Charles said it. And it was a great contest.
Let's just do impromptu Leisureman assignment here.
Okay.
We're going to grade. I'm going to give you all the winners. And we'll just, off top of your head, we'll give a grade to these guys. Larry Nance, 1984, Denver. He beat Dr. J. I remember this.
He was creative. He dunked 2 balls.
Yeah.
He was known as a dunker more than a good player.
You should see how lame those. I looked at them on YouTube. They're so lame compared to what they do today. 85, Dominique. That was probably an A.
Yeah.
Spud Webb, 86.
Spud Webb, that was a crossover dunk contest. That's where people who didn't watch basketball knew about it.
I give that an A+.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, 87.
No. That's when he took off from the free throw line. I think he was wearing warm-ups.
Yeah. It's funny. We don't talk about Jordan in the dunk contest, but some of the most common images of Jordan of all time are those dunks, that one from the foul line, and the one where he came in sideways.
The sideways one was called Kiss the Rim.
Yeah.
And I watched it the other day, and when he leaned in, I was like, that's okay. And then they show it in slow motion, and he's just staring at the rim sideways.
Oh, it's amazing. I love those. 88, Michael Jordan A. That was the one in Chicago. 89, Houston, Kenny Skywalker. Remember that chain that dude was wearing?
Yeah, he had a lot of power, and he had a lot of like 360 in the air moves.
Very disappointing player for the Knicks, by the way. 1990, Dominique won. Then 91, D. Brown.
D. Brown was creative. 6'1",
yeah.
Pumped up the shoes.
Yeah.
Remember he had the Reebok pumps?
Yes, yes.
And he also did the arm over his eyes.
Which became the Reebok logo.
Very creative.
Yeah. Then 92, no one remembers this. Cedric Ceballos, he blindfolded. That was the blindfold one. I remember that.
Yeah, but there's no way you could actually dunk three-quarters court blindfold.
Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist on Ceballos?
Anti-blindfold.
Yeah. 94 Isaiah Ryder, we talked about. 95 Harold Miner. Oh, yeah, that was great.
He was a sure thing.
96 Brent Berry, our friend. I don't remember. He was wearing sweatpants earlier. I remember that.
Yeah, smart move for a white guy. I think that was a white guy overcorrection.
97 Kobe. 98, they didn't do it. 99 Lockout, they didn't do it. No All-Star game.
Wow.
So that's why Vince Carter wasn't in it. 2000, Vince Carter came in and won.
They canceled it because they knew Vince was going to win it?
Said they had the WNBA two-ball competition replace the slam dunk contest. Oh. They were getting tired of it. Then Vince won in 2000. Desmond Mason won in 2001. Mm. That's a real... 2002, Jason Richardson.
He was a pretty good dunker. He was a real high-end dunker.
Yeah, Golden State. Then he won it two in a row. Fred Jones in 2004.
Fredo. You know,
I remember when he was drafted, Fred Jones. Josh Smith in 2005. Tall guys rarely win the thing. Mm-hmm. He's 6'10". Then Nate Robinson, that was a good one. Gerald Green, Dwight Howard, Superman in 2008. The people, I don't know if anyone's still listening here. Two Nate Robinsons in a row. Blake Griffin was awesome. He jumped over the Kia.
Yeah.
Terrence Ross.
Ooh.
Jeremy Evans, I don't remember that one. He was a Utah Jazz.
Are you sure?
Yeah, there's a guy, 2012, Jeremy Evans.
Must have been out of town.
I tell you, the dunk contest got real lame for a while. John Wall won one? Okay.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, and I heard someone talking about this the other day. It was some sort of round
if
robin.
If you're making up names to make punk me on the air, it's fine.
2015, Zach LaVine won. 2016, Zach LaVine won. That's where he beat Aaron Gordon controversy. Right. 2017, Glenn Robinson, the third one. What?
GR3?
Yeah, the Sixers just traded for that dude. 2018, Donovan Mitchell won?
Nah, that's you're punking me.
I'm reading this. 2019, Hamidou Diallo won, and I remember this because we had a fight
Did I get this wrong the other day?
Yeah, no. I said Hamidou Diallo, the one out of Kentucky. You're like, no, it's a Diallo out of Kansas. And I was like, or some other
name. Chet Diallo.
Yeah. Then Derek Jones Jr. won this year. So there was a definite downtime in the NBA dunk contest, but I like what you said to lead this off. This was a great weekend. Everything hit.
Yeah.
It was all A's.
What else we got today?
Okay, so talking about Zion, a friend of mine told me he did a bet 2 weeks ago, +360 that Zion wins Rookie of the Year. Is there any chance Zion can catch Ja Morant, who's awesome for the Memphis Grizzlies?
Yeah, he can, because it was easy to write Zion off when he wasn't playing.
Right.
And because it's like having a big head start. You know, Ja Morant had a head start, but Ja Morant is, he's not as good as he is. He's not as compelling. He's really compelling.
He is.
But Zion is all-time compelling.
Yeah, but is he going to have enough games to do it? I think that he wasted his money. I think John's going to win it because of the game total, not because he's better, I think.
Man, that's tough.
Would you, but then again, +360, that's not a bad bet.
No,
so
it's a value pick.
I don't know what the odds are, but would you bet Joe Burrow is going to go number one?
Drafted number one. I would bet he does not.
Mm.
We should
find out how Vegas works on that, if it's tied to the team. I don't think so, but... That's a really interesting bet, too.
The one caveat here is the Bengals being such a non-traditional team, organization-wise, I don't think they're going to, even though I think they should trade him in this time if the offer is unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean,
I know you're against that.
I probably wouldn't, but also the Bengals tend not to trade like that. Interesting. What if they go down to 7-8, take Jerry Jeudy there, and then get their quarterback at the top of the second? That's Paul Papsalder. Right? That's how they did it with A.J. Green and Andy Dalton.
You get an offensive lineman, a tight end, and maybe a second round.
Oh, yeah. Your eyes are getting big. You give me four picks in the first two rounds, you're like, oh. And I think it seems to me, we had Mel Kiper on the show, it seems to me like a pretty juicy offensive draft. So you can build around a quarterback. There's so many great receivers.
I guess I look at this as almost like a 2-year process. The Bengals will probably stink next year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you let Andy Dalton go for cap reasons or whatever reasons, future reasons, draft a quarterback or don't draft a quarterback and just bring someone in as a filler for this year.
Yeah.
And you have a top 5 pick next year. But if you got like the best offensive lineman and the best wide receiver in the draft, and picked up more future draft capital, and had two shots to get the number one quarterback. Because now,
think
about this. If Miami trades up with you, you get Miami's first next year. That Miami's first next year could be the first. Maybe not, the odds are against it because they've got some decent people, but if Joe Burrow is the starter for the Miami Dolphins, they could be terrible.
Absolutely. No, I mean, well, Miami passed last year on a quarterback. I mean, they traded for Josh Rosen, but they probably could have drafted. They were thinking about the future. So I love it. I think that makes a lot of sense. I do think Joe Burrow's coming off such a crazy good season that I don't know that you can pass on him.
Right.
You know, and I'm a Trevor Lawrence guy, trust me. But I don't know also, too, what if you're like Miami and you win four games? What if they kept Andy Dalton and won six games? Like, it's
you're right.
Too much.
The downside of passing on Joe Burrow and having him go to the Hall of Fame for another team, you've always said you can't let that happen.
No. And, okay, let's get honest here. What did you think of Joe Burrow when he threw to me at the Super Bowl?
Well, unbelievable accuracy. Unbelievable.
Was there not that much zip on the ball? What was he doing?
Well, I think he was a little confused that he didn't realize, I don't think he knows the show, that you can light you up.
Yeah.
And so I was standing next to him feeding him the football.
Yeah, what'd he say?
And I said, and you started talking smack to him. I go, you could let him have it. And he kind of like twisted his torso a little bit and did like a hop step into it and sizzled it to you. That said,
he didn't go all in. Or if he did, there's all
in. We don't know that he didn't go all in.
Kirk Cousins threw one at me that was like, it was like a rocket launcher.
But Kirk Cousins is not known for having a huge arm.
But this is what happens. I don't care what arm you have in college. You get those Tom House trainers in for 5 years, you can sizzle a football 5 years into the NFL.
I can remember the Atlanta Super Bowl when Kyler Murray sizzled one into you.
Yeah.
It changed the whole mood on the set.
Yeah.
We all went back to our seats and said, do you see the arm on Kyler Murray? As if we were surprised that a guy who's 5'11", stocky, plays quarterback and played baseball at the infield position would have a great hose.
Oh, I know. That's I heard this great write-up. I heard this discussion. Daniel Jeremiah was talking about Russell Wilson's combine performance. He's the shortest quarterback in the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how he fell because of his combine measurements. But he ran a 4.55, which is blazing for a quarterback. And I don't think of him as a blazing quarterback, but he really is a lot faster than we realize.
He takes little pitty-pat steps in the pocket.
Yes, right. Like, you wouldn't think of him as a fast 40 guy.
I think he's very good at avoiding contact both in the pocket and out of the pocket. He doesn't get hit a lot, which is fantastic. Yeah. He runs enough. And we brought this up on the Dan Patrick a million times. His fourth quarter running stats are where the lion's share of his career running is.
Yeah. Well, he'll end up two on the list, probably, all-time runner.
Yeah.
But he's just for the longevity.
If he plays to 38, yeah.
But the other thing, too, he weighed 205 at the combine. That dude is not 205 anymore.
No.
He's put on a lot of weight.
He's built more like a running back.
Yeah. Don't you think he's bulked up a lot intentionally to take those hits?
And let the hair grow out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Give me your honest opinion on that that hairdo with the style shot.
Again, I defer to the wife in this situation. My wife likes my hair really short.
Yeah.
I like my hair really short, but I've all, you know, whenever I grow it out more, and again, I don't have a ton of hair, but I defer to keeping my wife happy.
Yeah, of course.
And if I generally like it, I don't think that much about it.
And is there any reason that you and I should question Ciara's taste? She's sort of a fashion icon, and you're wearing khakis and a Sacred Heart three-quarter
shirt.
With
white socks.
Yeah, and the hiking shoes. Yeah.
But let's put it this way. I'm not even married to Ciara, and if she asked me to grow my hair out, I'd probably say yes.
Oh, my God.
I get all confused.
If I heard her just say to somebody, hey, you should do this to your hair, I'm going to go.
Or Ciara said, this is the new thing.
Yeah.
Grow your hair like Russ.
I may
do it anyway.
You know, one of the many things we like about Russell Wilson, he's like us, by the way. Like, he knows he outkicked his coverage.
Right.
He's fully aware of that. That is everything he does. It's very clear. Hey, I know I'm lucky to have Ciara, and I'm just going to do whatever she says.
Right. He's a champion on and off the field. All right. What else on the Leisure Room podcast? You know, one thing we talked about on the Dan Patrick this week is traveling to see tourist attractions. I had mentioned a story that I was in Italy and had about 20 minutes to kill between train connections, and I was in Pisa, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And I asked the train conductor, I'm like, how many minutes do I have till the train takes off? He goes, you got 17 minutes. And I go, how far is the Leaning Tower? He goes, you could trot over there in 3 minutes, easy. And I'm like, how often am I going to be in Pisa, Italy? Never again, probably. This is one of the global tourist destinations, not the Grand Canyon, but it's in that neck of the woods. And so I jogged over to Leaning Tower of Pisa. I saw it. It was quite disappointing. It was exactly what I expect because I've seen pictures of it 1,000 times. And there was a bunch of other morons just like me standing around trying to take pictures of it and do the thing where you put your hand
like
you're holding it. Where do you stand on going to see obvious tourist destinations?
Okay, I hear you.
Okay.
I get it. Now, let me ask you a question. I thought the Leaning Tower of Pisa was in Rome. It's not?
Not in Rome. It's in Pisa.
There's a town called... I never knew that. I thought you were showing a picture of like a part of Rome that I hadn't seen.
It's Pisa, Italy.
The Leaning Tower of Pisa is not in Rome, like next to the Colosseum?
I think it'd have a different name.
Like no, you're right.
The Leaning Tower of Rome.
No, you're right. I had no idea. So I have to admit, every time I've been a tourist, I haven't traveled enough where I can go in deep enough not to do the main attractions.
Right.
So I just suck it up and do the main attractions without too much shame. I feel a little embarrassed.
But is it so when you come back, people say, how are the Spanish Steps? How is the Coliseum?
Yeah, you got it. I'm sorry. You just like, I know you want to be cool and, you know, you want to go to like follow Yelp or the Lonely Planet and do like cool things.
Right.
But I'm sorry. I'm not cool enough. And it's so important. But you don't know if you're going to be there. So you have to go there. So if I'm in Dublin, I have to go to the Guinness plant and I have to go see
Trinity College.
Yes. I'm not going to like go. I'm not a dig deep guy. And I'm not embarrassed about that.
Okay. I think everyone's with you. We all check out the touristy spots, but I'll give you an example. I was in South Dakota years and years ago on a road trip. And of course, in the Black Hills there's Mount Rushmore. You know exactly what Mount Rushmore looks like. It's not going to really sneak up on you when you roll up there. Like, hey, I didn't knew that president was going to be there. But if you go about 10 minutes, you drive around, there's this, I think it's a sculpture similar to the, not as finished, but of Geronimo. He was an Indian chief in that area in the Badlands. And it's unbelievable. And it's more like, I don't know if the word rustic, but unfinished. And I didn't know it was coming. So I come around this corner and all of a sudden I was like, what is this? And I pull over to this viewing site and it was this unbelievable thing. And it's not 1/100th as known as Mount Rushmore, but I thought it was cool. And there was no tourists. And I just walked around and checked it out and learned how these young art students chiseled this into the side of a mountain. And I liked stumbling upon something that was not known.
Yeah, it's cool. But then in the Instagram age, is there anything undiscovered now? There's probably...
It's fair enough.
Yeah, I wonder. But by the way, I've always wanted to see that... I've never been to Rushmore. I felt like, isn't there like a sense of awe being underneath it or no?
The whole Black Hills area, it's smaller when you're on.
Oh, okay.
It's a little off in the distance, so you have to zoom
in to get the
grandeur of it. And there's not really a hiking trail they allow you to go to.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like you were blown away by it.
I was blown away by learning about the process of how it was made, which isn't quite as exciting.
Yeah, no, you lost me.
I'm done.
Yeah, oh my God, I always thought that was something that like it was once in life, like... You know, I've never seen the Grand Canyon either. Did you know? I've been to Vegas probably 300 times. I've never seen the Grand Canyon.
I've been to the Grand Canyon 3 times, and it's worth the trip, but get off the beaten path. Because there's...
Okay, so you're a get-off-the-beaten-path guy. You're officially a get-off-the-beaten-path guy.
I go back to standing on your desk in Dead Poets Society, looking at things from a different view to a different angle. I try to go Mr. Keating on you there.
Gotcha. Hitting the young audience with that movie reference.
Fantastic reference by me.
By the way, a lot of those guys who were in this class are from Philadelphia. So, yeah, I knew this guy who was one of the kids in the class growing up. Yeah. It was his claim to fame, and he never got anything else. But wait, the Grand Canyon I've never seen. Mount Rushmore I've never seen. What are the other big American ones? The Capitol we've all seen.
Okay, here's the...
Oh, you had never seen D.C. until you went with me.
I had never been to D.C. I've been to, like, Maryland around D.C. and drove around.
Yeah.
But the first time I saw the White House in person, I was like, that's it? It's hard to see. It's not really clear when you're standing out there. There's shrubs everywhere. The building is, from the outside, is quite a bit less prominent than I expected it to be.
Really?
I thought it'd be sitting up high. Like the Capitol building in D.C. is up there.
The Capitol building is more impressive. You're right.
Much more. Much more easy to take in.
The monument's pretty, the Washington Monument's pretty cool.
Yes.
The Lincoln Memorial. Those are all pretty good.
Lincoln Memorial's fantastic.
I have to give you a tour of Philadelphia. You have to see those.
Do you know I'm going to a wedding in Philadelphia?
Yes, in August. Yeah. Hopefully I can come down that weekend and annoy you and make you see Independence Hall, the Liberty Bell, Big Ben, whatever.
Parliament, whatever it takes. Hey, that's the Leisureman Podcast. Go on Twitter and follow @TheLeisureman and tell us the places we should and shouldn't see driving around our country. Take care. We're done.